Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to comedian and actor Kevin Hart about his role in the upcoming film, Night School. We also chat with the film's producer, Will Packer. Gospel music sensation Jonathan Nelson stops by to chat about his new album, Declaration. And closing out the show are African American Film Critic Association members Edward Adams and Rhonda Rache Penrice. They're here to discuss AFCA's Black Experience on Film partnership with Turner Classic Movies, TCM. I'll also be playing music from Jonathan Nelson, as well as Music Soul Child and Jennifer Hudson. Both of them are celebrating birthdays this week. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Hilton Casting is looking for extras for the new BET series, American Soul. The show is set in the 1970s and is based on the life of Soul Train creator Don Cornelius. The production is in need of Soul Train dancers, musicians, models, magicians, students, nightclub extras, bouncers, clowns, and more. Filming will take place between September and December. Please submit your information to HiltonCasting.com. /submissions/extras. In other related entertainment news, TV One's Unsung Hollywood is back for another season. The popular series profiles some of the most talented, versatile, and influential Black celebrities in Hollywood and returns with new episodes beginning Sunday, October 7th at 9 p.m., kicking off with the story of iconic African-American film, The Best Man. The remainder of the season features equally unforgettable stories from influential entertainers including comedian actor Wayne Brady, actor and R&B singer Ray J, and comedian TV radio personality Ricky Smiley. Check out a sneak peek at WCLK.com. And finally, check out the trailer for Netflix's Quincy. The film chronicles the life and career of entertainment icon Quincy Jones beyond his own acclaim as a trumpeter, producer, conductor, composer, and arranger. Jones's inimitable gift to discover the biggest talents of the past half of the century is unprecedented. He has shaped the pop culture landscape for 70 years, mentoring and cultivating the careers of young talents from Leslie Gore and Michael Jackson to Oprah Winfrey and Will Smith. Watch the official trailer at WCLK.com. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue. Support for WCLK programming comes from Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company, presenting Nina Simone for Women at the Southwest Arts Center, September 25th through October 21st. This play with music puts a spotlight on Simone's song and features four women who are in search of solace following the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church. Ticket information is available at truecolorstheater.org.
This is CeCe Winans, and you're listening to Upfront, hosted by Ray Cornelius.
You just heard music from Stellar Award-winning gospel music star Jonathan Nelson. The trailblazing praise and worship leader released a new album this week titled Declaration, and stopped by Upfront to chat about the project and much more. Jonathan Nelson, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm good, Ray. Thank you for having me.
No problem. It was so good to see you last night at the premiere of Night School.
Oh, yeah.
Did you enjoy the film?
Yes, I did. Very funny.
Yeah, right. This is an exciting week for you. You're dropping a major project. You have a new album that is coming out, Declaration.
Yes, yes.
And how excited are you?
You know what? I am, with each CD that drops, you know, you turn back into a promoter and you get back into the reason why you do it. I never really lose the reason why, but it, I guess it becomes alive once again on the inside.
Yeah.
And it's like turning into a kid in a candy store. You know, I'm like getting a chance to kind of like get out here and grind again and work again and do grassroots style again, drive and just do things that you did when you first started. So it takes me back through the journey of the reason why I'm here and really a place of gratitude.
Yeah. Now, we opened the segment with your latest single, I Agree. What was the inspiration behind that song?
Well, my last CD had a song called I Believe. It's very popular in the Caribbean. You know, the tagline, So Long, Bye Bye. So I was able to travel not only to the Caribbean, but I was able to travel to Africa and to the African markets. And so this is a way for me, that song, I Believe, was a breakout hit and it wasn't planned. This time around, I wanted to kind of be strategic because I already have inroads to that market. So I wanted to really celebrate the African culture as well as the Caribbean culture once again, but then also bridge the gap between them and how we worship in the U.S. So that song is like a melting pot, I guess you could say, of Africa, the Caribbean, and the U.S. And so I Agree. It closes out and climaxes like with Sunday morning church, clapping your hand, foot stomping kind of style.
Yeah.
And that was that really was the inspiration. I wanted people to have a good time celebrating and singing while the message is very clear that we agree with what God says about us. I also wanted them to say yes to God and for whatever it is for their life, and not be afraid to say it and not feel like it's an old school kind of thing to say, I say yes, God, and I don't know where the journey is going to take me, but I say yes. But, you know, this way is a fun kind of way of saying it. And then before you know it, the things that you begin to say, you'll be in full agreement and you'll start seeing what it is that you sing or say out of your mouth.
Now, do you see a difference in the American audience versus, because you also just got back from Africa
I did,
as
yes.
well. So do you see a difference from that audience to the American
distinct
audience?
Distinct difference.
Yeah.
Absolutely. There is a reservation that we have here in our worship settings, from a Seventh-day Adventist to a traditional Baptist to a Pentecostal to Church of God in Christ style or to a progressive full gospel Baptist. There in Africa, and it doesn't matter, even in the Caribbean, it doesn't really matter what their denomination is, that gratitude and celebration is ingrained in the culture. Everybody dances. Everybody celebrates. And it really is an intoxicating experience. It's one that I feel like every American should really experience because of it's like no matter what, they're going to find a reason to rejoice, you know. And I know that we are blessed here in the States, in the U.S., but sometimes I don't know that we express it through our body language, through dance, through celebration. I think sometimes we have to kind of be wound up to kind of get there, but it's an automatic thing. So yes, it is a distinct difference for sure.
Yeah. Now, you've taken declaration to social media and you've sort of incorporated that on your Instagram page where you do these daily declarations. How has that brought you closer to your fan base?
Well, you know what? I think I use different things. For example, just my journey through fitness. Sometimes when you're in the gym, you don't really feel like being there.
Yeah. Like tonight.
Well, you have to talk.
I gotta go tonight.
Yeah, and you got to talk to yourself. You really do have to talk to yourself. You have to talk to yourself through every set. Okay, I got five more. Come on, you can do this. You can do this.
Yeah.
And I talk to myself when it's time for me to lift heavy. I say, come on, Nelson, you got this. And my trainer's like, yeah, you got it. Come on, you got it. So I say all that to say, when I finish, there have been times I've been finished working. Hey, guys, look, this is my declaration. I'm not giving up today. I'm going to do whatever it requires to be successful. Then people say, oh, my God, I can connect to that. I actually agree with that because today has been a difficult journey. But today I'm just going to speak over my life. I'm going to declare over my life. I can do it. I can win. I am a winner. So those things have been helping people, I guess you can say, to be inspired to complete whatever task they have or just to be inspired to speak and declare over their day.
Mm-hmm. What was the recording process like this time around versus your last album?
Well, I recorded in two different states, two different time frames, which was a huge task from a financial standpoint, but it was a faith move for me. I'm from Baltimore originally, so I went back home to record to capture a piece of home. And then I went to my home church now in Florida and we recorded there. And the experience of merging both worlds together was just, it really was just amazing to see how it just really kind of came together. But it was a journey that I probably would do all over again.
Wow.
Yeah, I would do it again.
Billions of words can describe. Contain it, church. So I release my worship and simply say, Jesus, help me say it.
So we just heard a sample of Jesus, I Love You. Let's talk about that song.
Jesus, I Love You is, it is a declaration. The lyric says, I'm returning my love back to you. We know as believers that Jesus died on the cross, and when he died on the cross, he died for all mankind. And that was the ultimate sacrifice, but it was also the expression, the greatest expression of love that anyone could give. And so the lyric says, I'm returning my love back to you. I feel like it's my responsibility. You died to set me free. And as believers, that is like the place of that is the place where we come to know Jesus through the cross. And so for me, I'm saying, God, I love you. Or Jesus, I love you for your sacrifice. And when you start listening to the song, you can it almost takes you through that journey. And we just kind of loop the back end. It just says, I love you. I love you. I don't know what else to say other than Jesus, I love you.
Yeah. So you've got some exciting collaborations on this project as well.
Let's
talk about some of those.
This group of, I brought a group of worship leaders together, and I just kind of found them through social media and different churches I've fellowshipped at. So I featured some of the worship leaders on this record. One guy, his name is Gene Hoskins. He's actually featured on I Agree.
Okay.
Then I work with a young lady by the name of Anaisha Figueroa Cooper. She's from Brooklyn, New York. She is one of Kirk Franklin's background singers, been singing with Kirk for maybe 10 years or more.
I think I've heard of it.
She's amazing. Her sister's Timothy Figueroa. Her sister led Calling My Name with Hezekiah Walker.
Okay.
Bishop Hezekiah Walker years ago. And the greatest feature for me, I got a chance to work with B.B. Winans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like the legend, the icon.
Yeah.
Which was such an enlightening experience. I got a chance to, I've been saying this everywhere, because I got a chance to work in a studio where he and CeCe cut almost all of their records.
Oh my gosh.
Whitney Houston.
You mean Hold Up the Light?
Yeah. No, for real. Like for real. They did it in the studio, the same studio where I was.
Okay.
Same engineer that they've been working with for years. And I mean, like I was like a kid in the candy store again. Cause I'm like, yo, I told him, I was like, BB, I know that you're my friend, but did you know I'm in the studio working with you right now? Like, do you understand what's happening in this moment?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like who didn't listen to BB and CeCe Winans growing up? You know what I mean? And I just thank God, like, I was like, yo, I'm really walking in favor. I'm like, you know how like the aha moment just kind of happens and you're watching it come to pass. I literally was in the moment and I kind of stepped out of the moment like, Jonathan, do you know what's happening in this moment? So I got a chance to work with BB, which was phenomenal. The song is called Because You Are. He wrote it, and we ended up doing a duet, and I just believe people are going to be blessed by that song as well. So I'm excited about it.
So I'm going to do something I've never done on the show before, but we're going to have a little bit, not that we're not having fun now, but I wanted to do a round of fun questions.
And all right.
10 seconds. This is just so that the audience can get to know you a little bit more in a different way.
This is like Family Feud with Steve Harvey. Okay?
Right. You ready? So you got, let's say like 15 seconds. Are we counting down on the side here? We're counting down? You
okay.
Ready? All right. So, last book you read?
Tommy Tenney. I can't think of the name of it, but Tommy Tenney.
Favorite movie?
Favorite movie. Coming to America.
You got to do a line from the movie.
That boy good. That boy can sing. You want to keep going?
Must have fashion item.
Shoes.
Shoes? What kind?
Any name brand? Balenciaga, Buscemi.
One thing your fans don't know about you.
One thing my fans don't know about me. Oh, God. I can't cook.
Okay.
But I can make some oodles and noodles.
Favorite cartoon?
He-Man and She-Ra, Thundercats. I can keep going down the line.
Favorite city to perform in?
Favorite city, Atlanta.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
You got it.
Because I'm here.
Yeah. And so this isn't part of that round, but just one last question. If you weren't a gospel singer, what would you be doing?
What would I be doing? I don't know exactly, but I will be doing something to affect change in our youth. I was formerly a substitute school teacher. Something to affect change in the minds of our young people, for sure.
Yeah.
Don't know quite what it would be, but I think I still might end up doing that too, regardless of the music business.
Yeah. Well, Jonathan Nelson, thank you so much for being a guest on Upfront. I know that went by so fast.
Yeah, it did. But thank you for having me, man. I'm so honored.
And again, your album Declaration is out this week.
Yes.
Congratulations on that. You can
thank
get
you.
More information about that album and listen to some of those songs at WCLK.com. Thank you so much, Jonathan.
Thank you for having me.
The Who's Who in Black Atlanta 18th Anniversary Edition Networking Reception Awards and Unveiling Ceremony takes place on Friday, September 21st, 6 p.m. at the Atlanta Marriott Marquis. The evening with Who's Who in Black Atlanta will include hors d'oeuvres, special photo opportunities, live entertainment, and more. Ticket information to the Who's Who Reception and Ceremony is available at shop.realtimesmedia.com.
I think beauty's overrated. 'Cause that's something anyone can be. Yeah. Attraction, now that's something different. And thankfully you're bold to me.
'Cause I've learned in this life,
yeah,
you gotta be with someone you like.
And
you think we've got,
yeah,
what it takes to go to distance.
I can tell you now.
Hey, what's up? It's Nikki Gilbert from Brownstone, singer, actress, writer, producers, and star of the new film Social Conflict. I am hanging out up front with Ray Cornelius on WCLK.
With my dogs in the nighttime.
Welcome to night school.
We need to cram 4 years of high school into a semester.
Study group, study group, study group.
Yes. I think his mama breastfed him beer.
In the kitchen,
teaching the conventional way just isn't gonna get it done.
Why we in ring?
What's the square root of 81?
What?
What's the square root of 81?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Square root, what is it?
That was a snippet from the upcoming film Night School, starring Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish. The movie follows a group of misfits who are forced to attend adult classes in the long shot chance they'll pass the GED exam. It also features Brescia Webb, Keith David, Romney Malco, and Atlanta's own Donna Bisco. I recently attended the Atlanta red carpet screening of the film and talked to Hart about why he decided to star in and produce it, and much more.
My partner, Will Packer, is a guy that I would never ever turn on my back. So I decided to go to him and partner up with him in the development of this, and then we together with Universal greenlit it. And now we're here talking about the movie that we decided to make, that got made. Smart comedy, a movie about second chances, a movie that adults that may have not finished school or may have not gotten a diploma or that piece of paper, that still may be double dutching with going back, you know, one foot in, one foot out. This is a movie to show you that there's nothing wrong with going back if you have to. Nothing wrong with going back and getting that diploma and having that education that you need on your belt. Something that we all should hold our heads up for and all want. That's what this show is.
And what did you enjoy the most about working with Tiffany?
Tiffany's amazing, man. As you guys know, I've known Tiffany for years. You know, this is a relationship that goes back very, very far to the beginning stages of stand-up comedy. I think the best thing about Tiffany is seeing her rise. Also, remembering when I was in that same place and how excited I was and how the opportunities just kept coming. Watching the same thing happen for her, but even bigger, is so dope to see because she's enjoying it. You know, she's humbled by it. She's appreciative of the moments. And she's smiling on the day when she's able to provide for her loved ones. Ultimately, that's what you want to see. You want to see people work hard and get the rewards. I'm watching a woman get the rewards she so much deserves. And I hope they're going to get better.
Producer Will Packer talked about reuniting with Tiffany Haddish and director Malcolm D. Lee, as well as the magic of Kevin Hart.
You know what is his work ethic? He works very, very hard. That's the thing about Kevin. He is somebody that you're not going to outwork, and you're not going to tell him what he can't do. Mm-hmm. And that makes for a successful combination. The business was very, very tough for that.
Now, this film reunites you with Tiffany Haddish.
Yep.
Yes. So, like, coming back and working with them again.
You know what? We had just done Girls Trip. And we were getting ready to think about going into production on this. I didn't have a director. I didn't have the cast lined up. I called Malcolm. I said, brother, Malcolm was about to go on vacation. Girls Trip had just come out. It had been a long road to Girls Trip. He was tired. He said, brother, we're going on vacation. I said, listen, man, I got something for you. You can't go on vacation. Not only do I need you to direct it, but we're going to go get Tiffany again. And he said, you know what? Me, you, Tiffany, and Kevin Hart, well, how can I say no to that? I said, you can't. I need you on the plane, brother. You got on the plane.
Well, congratulations. Number one movie again?
Say it again.
Number one movie again?
I hope so, man. You know, I mean, you don't. I don't define success solely by that. If people receive it well and enjoy the movie, that's what success is.
Go to WCLK.com to watch the full trailer. Night School opens in theaters this Friday, September 21st.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the National Black Arts Festival, presenting the 30 Years of NBAF Gallery Exhibit, September 22nd through October 12th at the Chastain Arts Gallery. The exhibit will feature photos, videos, and art pieces that commemorate NBAF's 30-year history. A reception will also take place on September 27th at 6 p.m. Information is available at www.nbaf.org.
This is Coleman Domingo, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My last guests are Edward Adams and Rhonda Rache Penrice of the African American Film Critics Association. The organization has teamed up with Turner Classic Movies, TCM, for the Black Experience on Film, a collection of classic black movies that are airing all throughout the month of September. Both of them stopped by Upfront this week to discuss their partnership, along with the relevance of these movies and much more.
Ed Adams and Rhonda Penrice, welcome to Upfront. How are you guys?
We're good, thank you.
I'm good. Rhonda Rache Penrice.
Oh, okay.
I know you know me.
Yeah.
Get that extra R in
that's
there.
That's right. Rhonda Rache Penrice. Well, you guys, welcome to Upfront. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate it. You guys are actually a part of this exciting organization. We've had Gil here several times, but just want to let everyone know, if this is your first time listening to the show, the African American Film Critics Association. Tell us a little bit about the organization.
Well, let me defer to you.
Well, I mean, AFCA, as you know, we're celebrating our 15 years. It is the largest collection of film critics, black film critics in the world. And so it's just people who love movies and write about them who look like you and I.
Yeah, we do other things too. We do a lot of community projects. We've done a few, for example, screenings at Auburn Avenue Library to discuss like anniversaries of film.
Yes.
We've actually done some work here at Clark Atlanta University.
Yeah.
So yeah, we do
a
lot of things.
Oh yeah, we've done arts and entertainment boot camps to introduce young people to film criticism as an avenue for, you know, journalism and so forth. And also with our screening series that Ed mentioned, we have done that in Los Angeles as well. And
Miami, Chicago,
yeah.
New York.
So we have different ones.
Mm-hmm.
As movies come out, like current titles, we've done AFCA tours with them and had people come and talk with us. Mm-hmm. In L.A., they did Crown Heights, and they had the director
mm-hmm.
and one of the producers, Kerry Washington's husband,
yeah.
And a great actor. He was good in that. So yeah. We do a variety of things, but it's also to give a platform to the wonderful people who are writing about films, but also to build an overall film community and to give an opportunity to have exchanges and to, you know, be the cinephiles that we are.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you guys have this amazing new partnership with a Turner Classic Movies, TCM, and you have this beautiful collection of films that have been showing all throughout the month of September called Black Experience on Film. How did this partnership come about? Because this started first Tuesday and Thursday of September, right?
Yeah, it's actually kicked off the first week of September.
Okay.
Yes, that is our leader, Gil Robertson. It was his vision. I remember when Gil told me about it, and it's just like, wow, it's just amazing that it's come to fruition, because he literally told me about it last year. Yeah. So that it happened with Gil. There's some amazing executives over at Turner Classic Movies, and he started talking to them, and he gave them this vision of his, and they ran with it.
And basically, they're showing these films on Tuesdays and Thursday evenings, classic films mm-hmm. that are sort of attached to different categories, correct?
Yeah, so every Tuesday and Thursday, we air four films with a particular theme each day.
Okay.
So that's how it's set up.
And Rhonda, yours is already aired, correct?
Yes, okay. And we should also mention in the themes of the different films that there's commentary. Mm-hmm. So we do an intro and an outro for each film. Okay. So Gil Robertson and I launched the first one, which our topic was exploring Black identity in film. And so the four films we had was Oscar Michaud's 1920 silent feature film Within Our Gates. We did the 1934 version of Imitation of Life. Most people know the 1959 version.
Right.
We did Pinky, and we ended with Daughters of the Dust.
Oh, wow, the Julie Dash
yes. mm-hmm.
classic film.
Okay. 1991, yes.
Okay. Where am I? Living in world that I am.
So that was a clip from the movie Sparkle, and that's going to be one of the films that's going to be coming up this Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this Tuesday, the category is African-American musicals, and there's Carmen Jones, Cabin in the Sky, New Orleans, and Hallelujah. And then Thursday, September 20th, are Strong Black Women, and that's where you have Sparkle, Claudine, Losing Ground, and Cleopatra Jones. Let's talk about some of those films, because those are some of my favorites. Carmen okay. Jones, for one, is one that I could watch over and over and over again. What do you guys think?
Every time I think about Carmen Jones, I always kind of reflect the first time I saw it. And it kind of reminds me of why I like doing what I do. Because it was one of those films, like middle of the night, I'm trying to stay up after watching like MTV all night. And I switch over, and all of a sudden you see this, you know, this film Black people in it. It's the first time you see this beautiful songstress. I mean, she's such, how do you describe Carmen Jones the right way? I mean, she's seductive.
She's kind of manipulative.
Yes.
Too.
I was gonna say, like, yeah, I was trying to be polite.
Yeah.
Yes.
But she's a vixen, you know, and yes. There's something that's really great about seeing that and seeing that depth of something you don't really see a lot in the blaxploitation films that I grew up with. To see this film have that was really kind of inspiring to me.
And so many amazing artists in that film, Pearl Bailey, Harry Belafonte. I mean, just beautiful, beautiful performances by all of them. Another one, Claudine, we were talking about that offline, how that was just one of those movies in the 1970s that had everyone talking, James Earl Jones, Diane Carroll. Let's talk about that one.
Well, right. I mean, Claudine, I think, is really a gem in that you see a dynamic that you're not used to. You see Diane Carroll playing a woman who's essentially a single parent. She's a rather large family. But you have to understand, when Diane Carroll was in that role, that's not the way that she was seen. Diane Carroll was uniquely for the times seen as upper class.
Right.
And there were concerns about whether Diane Carroll could pull off playing this single welfare mom.
Right.
And so it was a very big breakthrough for her. And as when your listeners tune in, they will learn that Diana Sands, who, if you've been watching, she was in A Raisin in the Sun, she was supposed to be Claudine. And on her dying bed, essentially, she was like, you have to cast my friend Diane.
Wow. Wow. Let's talk about, now, Rhonda, you actually did a little write-up on the Oscar Micheaux piece, Within Our Gates. Let's talk about that as well.
Oh, yes. I think that Oscar Micheaux's Within Our Gates was very important because it was a 1920 film, and it was an answer to The Birth of a Nation, D.W. Griffith's horrifying film as far as we're concerned. But on another level, it also shows by coming out in 1920, and he had had a film before that, The Homesteader, that we have always been participants in this medium. I know a lot of times with our movements like Oscar So White, it gets lost in the sauce that we have participated in the motion picture industry since the very beginning, and not just as subservient figures, but as major figures. And Within Our Gates shows, I mean, you see school teachers, you see a doctor, and you also see criminal elements. You see the North, you see the South, mm-hmm. you see educational institutions moving to educate our people. So it's very important to know that we have long seen film as a major answer to how we've been portrayed or how we've been perceived in the world. And another thing that's noteworthy is Within Our Gates, that copy, because it was lost for many years, was discovered in the 1970s in Spain.
Oh, wow.
So that shows that not only did we have people like Oscar Micheaux who saw this as a viable medium for us, and we participated in the growth of the motion picture industry, but also from early on, we saw that we had stories that resonated globally. And that's very important when we think about Boots Riley talking about Sorry to Bother You, mm-hmm. not being accepted internationally and so forth.
Now, how were these films selected?
It was just if you could think of the films you want to see, going through them. I think Gil had already kind of had some of the categories, and then so he and I did an initial pass, mm-hmm. and then the larger AFCA body also weighed in. So
yeah, we submitted.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So it was a wish list kind of thing, and it was like, okay, you know, because we have this whole body of people with expertise. So, you know, and it's interesting because there are films that are, you know, the overall AFCA membership are aware of and seen and love that some of us aren't. And it's just a wonderful thing. And so after that list was compiled, then it was TCM, because some of the things are, what can you get? What can't you get? Mm-hmm. What's available? Because, I mean, even with the Oscar Micheaux Within Our Gates, it was rescored. So DJ Spooky did that. So there are some real considerations, but I just think it's a phenomenal offering. 32 yeah. films, phenomenal.
Wow. Now, Ed, why do you think these films are relevant? Why do you think people should tune in on Tuesdays and Thursdays?
I think the idea of the Black experience on film really speaks towards where we are right now. And you'll see that the conversations and the issues that these films kind of illustrate, you'll see that a lot of those issues are still here. We're still having these conversations over and over and over again. And the thing is that for me, when people watch it, you'll see that these themes aren't, I don't want to say the word timeless because they're not, but we're really stuck in this conversation that we keep continuing to have. And the filmmakers have been very diligent to kind of push these conversations out into the public spectrum that we are finally, I think in this point in time, we're starting to have these dialogues, mainly through social media and through our peers, but we're starting to have these conversations more. And this series, I think, is a great conversation starter. But I think it'll also push this conversation further as we look into the future.
And yours is coming up this week as well, right?
Yeah. Well, mine's this week. Mine's is comedy. So mine's the Black experience through comedies. And I'm very happy because one of the movies that I selected that I wanted to talk about was Watermelon Man, which is I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, Sweetbag Badass.
Yeah.
Melvin.
Melvin B. Peebles. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. But this is one of his films, that studio film that he actually created to get the money to do Sweetbag. So that's one of the kind of things you have to think about. But it was a big conversation about how he wanted to represent this man, this white man who turns black, and make it a comedy, a very dark comedy, mind you. But it's a brilliant film. It speaks more towards how, if you know his work, to see how he thinks and how he looked at the world as a whole at that time, and where, oddly enough, how much it has and has not changed.
Wow. Well, guys, thank you so much for being guests on Upfront today. Again, you guys are here on behalf of AFCA and this amazing partnership with Turner Classic Movies. We're talking about the Black experience on film every Tuesday and Thursday for the rest of September. And we'll definitely have some information about this on WCLK.com. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank you.
Live tweet with Rhonda and Edward during TCM's Black Experience on Film this Tuesday and Thursday, and use hashtag the Black Experience on Film and hashtag the AFCA. Well, that'll do it for today's show. I would really like to thank all of my special guests, Kevin Hart, Will Packer, Rhonda Rache Penrice, Edward Adams, and Jonathan Nelson. I would also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next Saturday, September 22nd, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. You can also follow us on Instagram at Upfront The Show. That's at Upfront The Show. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.